Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Did you eat a lot of turkey?
Yes.
And dressing?
Yeah.
And mashed potatoes?
Yes.
Gravy? Okay. And everything else? Yes. Pumpkin pie?
Yes.
Did anybody have pumpkin pie? Is pumpkin pie your favorite?
Yes.
I see a few hands. There's a proper way to eat pumpkin. Did you know that? Yeah, you select the biggest piece of the pie, first of all. And then you put it with a pointed end pointing at you. That's why it's pointed. Did you know that? It was designed that way. And then you get out the whipped cream. Shake it up really good. And you totally cover the pumpkin pie with whipped cream so that no pumpkin pie is showing. Did you know that? Then there's a little game where you kind of hunt for the pumpkin pie through the whipped cream with your fork. You know? Has anybody ever shaken up the can? Put up your hand. Confess that, church. Have you ever done that? I did that yesterday. Confession is good for the soul. I see those hands. God bless you. But you know, I love Thanksgiving. You know, we celebrated it twice. We celebrated with family here in Indiana, and then we went down to Kingsport in Tennessee and celebrated with our son and his wife. It's just a great tradition, isn't it? Thanksgiving is a wonderful tradition. I have another tradition that I always do at Thanksgiving. I always watch the Charlie Brown DVD about Thanksgiving, especially the part about the voyage of the, it just left me. The Mayflower. Anybody ever watch that? That's one of the best explanations of what Thanksgiving is all about that I've ever seen. In a Charlie Brown video. Charles Schultz was an amazing guy, was he not? Amazing guy. But anyway, you know, I watched it the other day, and every time I watch it, I'm kind of reminded of some stuff. Mayflower was a small ship. Had 101 people on it. 30 of them were children. And when they got to this country, they were already sick. And so the Mayflower really turned into a hospital ship. Some people went ashore and began building. But a lot of people stayed on the Mayflower because they were sick. And so it became a kind of a hospital ship. One of the first things they built was a big community room or community building. It became a hospital. And that first winter, half of the adults that came to this country died. Yeah, tragic. Miraculously, most of the children survived. And you remember the two Indians that showed up that spoke English, and they helped the pilgrims make it through that first winter, taught them how to raise corn. And at the end of that summer, when they brought in their harvest, they got together to celebrate. There were only 50 of the pilgrims left. They celebrated with 90 of their Indian friends and gave thanks to God for all he had done for them. That's just kind of an amazing story, isn't it? That's what Thanksgiving is all about. That's what we celebrate. Have a question. Could we celebrate? I think we should. Don't you? Make every day of thanks a day of Thanksgiving. In fact, I'll read a scripture that basically says that. This is in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and we're going to begin with the 16th verse if you want to follow. So turn in your Bibles or in your phones to 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 16. This is a short passage that just packed through. Full of some dynamite stuff. Paul said, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wow. I love passages like this that are just really kind of short and compact, but they really say a lot of stuff. He says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's interesting that Jesus always made it simple. The Bible makes it simple, but we preachers make it hard, don't we? And churches sometimes make it hard. We're good at coming up with rules and regulations. Yeah, okay. But Jesus kept it simple. Did you ever notice when Jesus was asked real hard questions, he always came up with real simple answers? Like one time the Jewish leaders said to him, they said, "What is the greatest commandment?" Now that would keep most rabbis busy for 2 hours. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Next question, please. And you know what? He quoted from the Shema. You know what the Shema was? That was a part of the Old Testament law that they taught to children in synagogue school. So it's almost like Jesus was saying, you ask a tough question like that, guys, you learned that in Sunday school. One other time, they asked, "Lord, what are the great works of God that we should do?" And Jesus said, "Believe on the one the Father sent." Is it that easy? Well, according to Jesus, it is. So do you think if we would rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, we would kind of be fulfilling the law, the purpose, of our purpose on this planet? We would be in the will of God? Kind of sounds like it. Let's look at that. Three things he says. Be joyful always. You ever have bad days? I live in Brown County. My land is laid on its side. And I work around my property, cutting wood, splitting wood, etc. I'm down as much as I'm up. I'm always falling, tripping over stuff, going down in the mud or something. I went to my doctor and, you know, for one of those wellness checks, and he said, "Do you fall often?" I said, "About every day." He looked horrified. I said, "Have you seen where I live?" You know, some days things aren't going well for me. I'm not necessarily happy. But you know what? Happiness is based on happenstance. It's what's happening to you. And every day, happy things don't happen to me. Sometimes I have bad days and get in a real bad mood. Ask her, she'll tell you. But you know, it doesn't say be happy every day. It says rejoice, rejoice. There's a big difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is about what is happening to you. Joy is something that is in our spirit. It's a gift or fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when we give our lives to Jesus, Jesus gives us joy. What does it mean to rejoice? It means you trigger that joy that is in you and you release it. And sometimes you really need to release it when you're not having a good day, right? You focus on God. Gratitude is one of the great things that triggers the joy within us and makes us rejoice. Did you know that people are looking for joy? They think they're looking for happiness, but they're not. They're looking for joy. I was sitting on the beach in Key West back when I was a long-haired hippie preacher. And I loved to just go sit on the beach and play my guitar and sing until God gave me somebody. And this guy named Greg came up and sat down next to me. And he listened for a while. He said, "What kind of music are you into?" And I said, "Jesus music." Just cut to the chase. And he asked me one of the most straightforward questions I've ever been asked. He said, "What does Jesus do for you?" Now, I could have given some theology, but he didn't want that. And so I just talked to him about how I had this experience with God right up there on North Hurricane Street in Franklin when I was 19 years old that totally transformed my life. I had no purpose before that. Ask her, she'll tell you. I was going nowhere and getting there fast. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know why I was on this planet, what I was supposed to do. But I had this brush with God, and after that, I've never lacked purpose. So I told him about that. I told him about how God answers my prayers and meets my needs. One time, Jenny Sue and I and the kids were coming back from Tennessee-Georgia border, where I'd been ministering all weekend in a church. And when we left, they said, "We're sorry, but the treasurer's not here, so we can't give you a check. We can't give you any money." Well, we didn't have any money. And that we didn't have a credit card back in that day. We were working with this fledgling youth ministry, and we didn't have a lot of money. So we just felt that God was saying, I'll take care of it, go home. So we started driving home knowing we were going to run out of gas somewhere and not have money for gas and not have money to eat. We stopped at Lookout Mountain. And when we pulled up in the parking lot, money was blowing across the parking lot. We got out and gathered it up. I went into the office there. There was a man behind the counter. And I said, we found this money blowing across the parking lot. Did anybody lose any money? He said, I don't think so. Well, what should I do with it? He said, it's yours. That's how we got home. So I told Greg about that. And he was kind of blown away. And after a while, he said, man, that is really heavy. Remember the 70s? Everything was heavy back there. So he went out on this jetty in the ocean, and he sat there for a long time just looking in the ocean. Then he came back, and he sat down next to me again. He said, tell me some more. I got to pray with Greg to receive Christ as his Savior. Isn't that neat?
Amen.
And by the end of the week, he was going up and down the beach telling people how that Jesus could give them everything they needed. Now, Greg was looking for three things. He had been a teacher in Michigan, but once he got out of college and got out and got doing it, it had not fulfilled him at all. It was very frustrating. So he had sold everything he had and gone down to Key West, Florida. Here's what he wanted to do. Remember, it's the 70s. He wanted to buy a sailboat, find some people he really loved, and they would just live on the sailboat and sail around. Peace, brother. And I said, Greg, you're looking for three things. You're looking for love, joy, and peace, aren't you? And he said, yeah. So I opened the scripture to Galatians 5. Won't you turn over with me? Galatians 5. And I read him this scripture. As soon as I get there. I'm in Philippians. That's close. Galatians, the 5th chapter. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I said, Greg, everything you're ever looking for, you're going to find in Jesus Christ. And it's true, isn't it? Rejoice always, because God has deposited joy in your heart. And gratitude is the thing that triggers it and releases it in rejoicing. Now, next he said, pray continually. You wouldn't get much work done, would you? When I was in college, I went to Ozark Christian College, and we had a professor in college. His name was Don DeWelt, and he's one of my favorite guys that I ever knew. But if you would go by his house about 4:30 any morning, you would find the light on in his study. He got up every morning at 4:30 in the morning, took a shower, shaved, got all dressed up, and went in his study and spent an hour with God praying. So I thought, I'll try that. You know what I figured out? I'm just too ADD to do that. To be confined in one place for an hour doesn't work for me. To get down on my knees and stay there for an hour doesn't work for me. I thought, you know what? That might work for Don DeWelt, but there's probably a better way for me. I like to pray on the run. I was a long-distance runner for 30 years, and I prayed as I ran. If I get my body busy doing something, my mind is free. So if I'm working, great time to pray. I rode a Harley Davidson for about 40 years, and riding my Harley was an awesome time to pray. I go hiking now. Hiking is a great time to pray, you know. Just pray on the run. Get your body busy doing something, and your mind is clear. Anybody else relate to that? So it works for me to just kind of pray on the run, to make Jesus a part of everything I do, to just kind of talk to him while I'm doing it. I think that's real close to what he was talking about when he says, pray continually. What works for you? Find a way that works for you and do that often. Just make God a part of everything you do, and it will totally change your day, won't it? Did you ever notice that the way you start your day And the way you end your day has a whole lot to do with what happens in between. Psalm 92 says, declare his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness at night. I wrote a song about that, a worship song. I call it my bookend song. If you start with God and you end with God, everything in between kind of stays where it's supposed to be. Kind of. But at any time, life, you know, can take over and things can fall apart. But if you begin your day with God and end your day with God, it has a whole lot to do with how you do that day. Agreed?
Amen.
Pray continually. Declare his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness at night. Put some bookends on your life. And in between, just make Jesus a part of everything you do. Talk to him about it as you're doing it. And listen. It took me a long time to learn to listen. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice or discern my voice. Did you know Jesus is talking to you all the time? Sometimes we pick up on it and sometimes we don't. But we need to listen. Don't ever take for granted the things that kind of get downloaded in your spirit when you're praying or reading the Bible or worshiping. Because a lot of times those are from God. And if you journal those things for a while, you'll find a clear message, something God is communicating to you. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? God wants to talk to us. So prayer is not just talking. Prayer is also listening. Pray continually. Then he also said, give thanks in all circumstances, not just at Thanksgiving, but in all circumstances, with or without the turkey and the pumpkin pie, give thanks in all circumstances. So we can kind of make every day a day to celebrate with Thanksgiving. Can't we? Yeah. Be thankful. It says, be thankful in every circumstance. You know, one of the best ways to appreciate this country? Go to another country and come back. Go to a third world country and then come back. And you'll see just how blessed you are. And you'll be a whole lot more thankful for what you have. A few years ago, I flew to Samara, Russia. It's about 15 hours straight south of Moscow. I went there with a friend, and we were going to be teaching at the Revival Bible Institute, which is a training facility for Russian workers, Christian workers. So I had a gallbladder attack in Frankfurt, Germany, in the airport. By the time we got to Russia, I had no idea what was wrong with me. I just knew I was really sick. And we were in this huge old big old apartment building, and in the middle of the night I had another attack, and man, I was sick. I woke my friend up and I said, man, I feel like I'm dying. So we got our host, we woke them up. They're two ladies from South Africa. They're just amazing. They started this Bible Institute, and now they're ministering all over that area. But anyway, they took me to the hospital. They were really afraid because a few months before they had someone visit from the States and they had a heart attack and died. So they thought I might be checking out. So they were very concerned. So they took me to the hospital. When we got to the hospital, we walk in. I think we're in the parking garage or something because it's dirty. It's just all cold concrete. There's a wino over in the corner sleeping on the floor. I thought, this must be the parking garage. It was a hospital. Went in and saw this gruff doctor. He said he thought he might have to do exploratory surgery, and I said, nee yet. Took me up to a ward. There were probably a dozen people in that ward. It was an old army cot. The mattress was just one of those old cotton stuff mattresses. There was a TV on. It blared all night in Russian, and I remember one guy walking around. He'd been operated on and stitched up, and it was kind of a spooky place to be. But you know what? I'm real thankful for American healthcare and American hospitals. Just go somewhere else and come back, and you become very, very thankful. I was in Haiti one time. Anybody been to Haiti? Good for you. It's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And every night we went out to minister at a church. One night we went to a place called Esther. Have you been to Esther? No. It's about the poorest place in Haiti. But I saw abject poverty like I've never seen poverty before. We went out to this church, and it was just built out of poles and palm leaves. There was a quarantine for malaria hanging on the side of it. I was really glad I was taking my hydroxychloroquine, which is a great drug for malaria, prevent malaria. But I sat down in that church next to a Haitian lady. She had two sets of twins. Three of them had orange hair, which meant they had no protein in their bodies. One of those babies was in the crook of her arm and was looking right up at me, and I kept trying to get its attention, but after a while I could see its eyes didn't focus. It was so malnourished. I'm sure that that lady, probably a year after that, went out and dug four holes in her backyard and wrapped those babies in palm leaves and buried them. But when we started to worship, this woman came alive. Big, bright smile from ear to ear. Haitians have this beautiful chestnut, black colored skin. They are beautiful people. And just smile from ear to ear. She got up and danced and gyrated and celebrated. And I sat there thinking, I came to this country to tell her something. I need to learn from her. She was so thankful when she worshiped. That bothered me for a long time. I'll never get her off my mind. Back in the States, I was telling that story to someone, and he said, you know what? When Jesus is the only thing you have, you are really a rich person. That lady was thankful. In the midst of horrible circumstances, she found out how to be thankful. Pretty amazing thing. I've been to Mexico probably 24 times, ministered all over that country, but I'll never forget this one time. We flew into San Luis Potosi, Mexico, and then we went up into the mountains to help out a missionary up there. But on the way, as we went up the mountainside, up to this plateau on top of the mountain, there were people that were dug into the side of the hills. That's where they lived. They just dug holes in the side of the hills. They ate cactus mostly. And I just drove, as we drove through there, I looked at person after person living in a hole in the hill and thought, how could you possibly make a living here? We have so much to be thankful for in America, don't we? We do. We gripe and complain and we're greedy as a culture. But we have so much to be thankful for. God has blessed America in an amazing way. And the scripture says, be thankful in all circumstances. And you can. All you have to do is just focus on what God is doing for you. And if you focus on what God is doing for you, you'll always find some good things He's doing. And you'll be thankful. Let me read from Jesus Calling. Anybody else use this? Wonderful little book, devotional. And this week, there were several readings that just seemed to follow what I'm talking about today. This is November 24th. It says, thankfulness takes the sting out of adversity. That is why I have instructed you to give thanks for everything. There is an element of mystery in this transaction. You give me thanks regardless of your feelings, and I give you joy regardless of your circumstances. This is a spiritual act of obedience, at times blind obedience. To people who don't know me intimately, it can seem irrational and even impossible to thank me for heart-rending hardships. Nonetheless, those who obey me in this way are invariably blessed, even though difficulties may remain. Thankfulness opens your heart to my presence and your mind to my thoughts. You may still be in the same place with the same set of circumstances, but is as if a light has been switched on, enabling you to see from my perspective. It is this light of my presence that removes the sting from adversity. Wow. I had a friend that, I met him at a conference in D.C., a pastor's conference in Washington, D.C. His name was Sam. And he just returned from a trip to Rome. And while he was in Rome, he went to the place where Paul was incarcerated before they executed him. It was a hole in the ground. It was a cistern. Just a hole dug down in the ground. They'd stored grain in it at one time. But there was a big grate over the top that they could lock down. He said as he looked down in that, there was an outcropping of rocks on one side, and he assumed probably that's where Paul sat awaiting his execution. There was a pipe that ran out of the bottom, out in the river, where he could probably relieve himself. Now, if they wanted to be really mean to Paul, they would throw a tarp over the top of that thing, and he was in total darkness. But here's his secret. Paul said, I have learned in all circumstances to be content. Man. Hard to get somebody down when they think like that, right? I've learned in whatever circumstance to be content. It's a spiritual exercise. It has to do with your focus. If you focus on your problems all the time, we're probably not going to have good conversations. Do you ever ask somebody how they are and they just start telling you? And you stand there and you're shifting your weight from one foot to the other thinking, how long is this going to go? And finally you go, oh, man, I've got to get out of here. Good to see you. I'm gone. You know, run, Forrest, run. And it's focus, isn't it? If you focus on your problems all the time, your problems just get bigger. And you have less friends. But if you focus on God, He gets bigger in your life. You become a whole lot more thankful and a whole lot more joy-filled, right? And you find it very easy to pray continually. I began talking about Charlie Brown, Peanuts. Let's end with that. Two slides we want to show you. Anybody else like Charlie Brown like I do? Okay. The Wisdom of Charles Schulz. I thought these things were written for kids. No, they were written for adults, you know. Here's the first thing. This is Charlie Brown. He says, every night, forgive those who hurt you, pray for those who need it, and thank God for everything you have. Amen? Sound good? Okay, here's some wisdom from Woodstock and Snoopy. Couple more favorites. Don't count the days. Make the days count.
Amen.
All about attitude, isn't it? All about focus. Get your focus on God. Everything's good. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time of year when we celebrate your faithfulness, where we thank you for all the things that you've done for us. God, you are good. And I don't think that's ever going to change. Just thank you that we have this faith that you're always there and that you're not going to change, that you love us regardless of how messed up we may be. You love us, you care for us, you provide for us far beyond anything we deserve. Thank you, God. You are good. You are good. And we praise you and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.